Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Car pedestrian fatality investigated. Staff writer. The Odessa Police Department and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to a car pedestrian crash just about 1 a.m. Thursday in the 2400 block of West I-20 in the eastbound lanes. Evidence and witness statements confirmed that a white 2020 International Truck tractor trailer was traveling east in the outside lane near the 2400 block of West I-20. A pedestrian, later identified as Pillar Moon of Kermit, was walking in the outside eastbound lane ahead of the International, a news release said. The driver of the International took evasive action to avoid striking Moon. However, impact was still made. Moon was pronounced deceased on the scene. Her next of kin was notified. No charges have been filed, and the investigation continues, the release said. Obituary. Conroe, Texas. Doris Marie Jones. Passed away Friday, October 28th. Visitation will be 10 a.m. Tuesday, November 1st at Weatherby Ray Funeral Home in Rotan, Texas, with graveside services at 11:30 a.m., held at the Bellevue Cemetery in Rotan, Texas. She was born September 16, 1936, in Rugby, Texas, to Leroy and Gladys Earle. She married the love of her life, Clifton Floyd Jones, on February 21, 1953, in Rotan. Clifton and Doris had three children while in Rotan, Sweetwater area, and in 1959 moved to Odessa, Texas. Doris worked as a beautician from 1963 to 1968 and then worked as a florist from 1970 to 1986 in Odessa. She loved caring for her customers and caring for her neighbors. She loved holidays and inviting her neighbors to stop by for some goodies. She was talented in sewing and quilt making. Most of all, she loved caring for and enjoying her expanding family.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 31st. EPA hangs regulatory axe over basin. Non-attainment designation could cripple energy industry. The story was written by Bob Campbell. State Representative Brooks Landgraf and the Texas Oil and Gas Association says the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is way out of line with its threat to designate the Permian Basin a non-attainment zone and curtail its oil and natural gas production. A spokeswoman for the EPA in Washington, D.C., responds that her agency will proceed with the tedious designation process. Quote, the EPA was created in 1970 by President Richard Nixon to consolidate the environmental responsibilities of the federal government under one agency and to monitor and enforce laws passed by Congress regarding the environment, Landgraf said Wednesday. Quote, unfortunately, since then, Democrat presidents have continually weaponized the EPA against oil and gas production in the United States, especially production occurring in Republican-led states. Under the Obama administration, the EPA tried to shut down Texas oil because of alleged threats posed to the obscure sagebrush lizard. Today, Biden is using the agency and its unelected bureaucrats to wage war on Texas energy by pursuing a non-attainment designation of the Permian Basin without any real transparency or scientific basis, end quote. Landgraf lauded the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling in a case titled West Virginia versus EPA, quote, that halted another attempt by the EPA to regulate beyond its own authority. Quote, the ruling sends a strong message and provides a glimmer of hope at a time when the Biden administration is doing everything it can to force an overhaul of the energy sector and the economy through a radical regulatory agenda, the Odessa Republican said. Continuing the quote, citing the major questions doctrine, which states that an action of vast economic and political significance cannot be taken by an agency without clear statutory authorization by Congress, the Supreme Court determined that the EPA was overstepping its bounds as outlined by the 1970 Clean Air Act. In short, the ruling puts a check on regulatory agencies such as the EPA and restores the role of Congress to make major policy decisions, Landgraf said. U.S. Representative August Pfluger, a Republican from San Angelo, said he vociferously opposes the EPA's action. EPA spokeswoman Shayla Powell told the Odessa American that high ozone levels recorded in the Permian Basin led to the conflict. She didn't answer a question about why the region's only air monitors are in Hobbs and Carlsbad, New Mexico. Quote, because of the high ozone levels, the EPA is considering a redesignation to non-attainment for portions of counties in New Mexico and Texas located in the Permian Basin, a large oil and natural gas exploration and production area, Powell said. Extracting and processing oil and natural gas results in emissions of nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds that cause ozone pollution, which can cause a number of health problems, including coughing, breathing difficulty, and lung damage. EPA is committed to its mission to protect public health and recognizes the importance of partnering with states and stakeholders to deliver clean air protections in a feasible, cost-effective way. End quote. Powell said that if the EPA moves forward, it will send notification letters to the state's governors and solicit their input on the redesignation action and potential boundaries. Quote, EPA's notification letter will provide information on areas within the Permian Basin region that do not meet the ozone standard, as well as areas that contribute to exceeding the standard, she said. The Clean Air Act's designation process applies nationwide, begins with the notification step, and takes at least 240 days before a final redesignation is promulgated. EPA will provide an opportunity for public comment on the action, end quote. TXOGA President Todd Staples said from Austin that the energy industry supports a science-based regulatory approach for protecting our air and water quality that has clear and unambiguous goals which are fairly implemented. Our industry has a track record of reducing emissions in the Permian Basin, including 70% methane emission reduction since 2011 and a 46% reduction in flaring intensity over the last decade, Staples said. Continuing the quote, science shows a co-benefit of reducing VOCs, which are a precursor to ozone when methane is reduced. The pending EPA decision regarding ozone non-attainment status for the basin is devoid of Texas data. It should not be implemented in a punitive manner because doing so threatens our nation's and the world's energy security, and it would negatively impact consumers, not to mention the regional and state economy. Safety first for a fun family Halloween. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. Halloween is not my favorite holiday, but it's up there, especially when my kids were small and now that my grandkids are small. The costumes and trick-or-treating are always such fun. But with that fun does come some risk. That is why it is so important to always add safety into your Halloween plans. The U.S. Food and Drug Association, the FDA, and several other child safety organizations have several tips for keeping your family safe as they enjoy their Halloween fun. When choosing a costume, make sure it is flame-resistant. If you are making a costume, choose flame-resistant fabrics such as polyester or nylon. Choose bright, reflective costumes or add strops of reflective tape to be more visible. Make sure costumes aren't tripping hazards. If you choose a mask, make sure it's not one that obscures vision. Hats and makeup are generally safer alternatives to masks. Make sure you test makeup 24 to 48 hours in advance by putting a small amount on the arm of the person who will be wearing it. If a rash, redness, swelling, or any other signs of irritation happen, that could be a sign of an allergy, and it's best to use a different product. When choosing makeup, make sure color additives are non-toxic. The FDA has a list of color additives that have been approved for use in makeups on their website. Do not use products that have not been approved, especially around the eyes, nostril, or mouth. Beware of decorative contact lenses that have not been prescribed and fitted by an eye care professional. Any other types of contacts are illegal in the U.S. because they can cause permanent damage to vision, but even with the laws prohibiting use, those contacts can still be purchased online or through disreputable sellers. Speaking as someone who lives with a person who has permanent visual damage due to an injury, your vision is priceless and not worth winning a Halloween costume contest. If you really want to wear decorative contacts, go to an eye care specialist. When it comes to safe treats, remember to never eat candy or other treats until they have been inspected by an adult in good lighting at home. The FDA recommends giving kids a snack before they go out, so they are less tempted to nibble on a treat from their Halloween bag. If your child has food allergies, remember to check labels on treats and be on the lookout for houses with teal-colored pumpkins. Teal pumpkins are a sign of houses that give out non-food treats to kids to avoid allergen issues. Do not accept or eat anything that is not commercially wrapped. If you have small children, make sure you remove any choking hazards such as gum, peanuts, hard candies, or toys from Halloween bags. When inspecting candy, look for signs of tampering, such as unusual appearance or discoloration, tiny pinholes, or tears in wrappers. Throw away anything that looks concerning. If you haven't already carved your pumpkin, leave pumpkin carving to adults. Kids can trace designs and scoop out the insides. Even better, avoid carving altogether and use paint to decorate your pumpkin. Avoid live flames in pumpkins. Use glow sticks or battery-operated lights instead. Plan your decorations so trick-or-treaters coming to your door are safe and your home stays safe, too. Make sure your outdoor decorations don't block windows, doors, or security features of your home. Make sure paths are clear and free of tripping hazards. Make sure lights are cleared for indoor versus outdoor use and don't have broken sockets or frayed wires. Think about your pets with Halloween safety as well. Keep treats out of their reach, as many candies are toxic to pets. Make sure the pets are kept away from decorations that could be hazardous to them. Costumes can be stressful to some pets, so watch your pet carefully if they are around costumed people. Keep pets calm as trick-or-treaters come to the door and make sure they are easily identified in case they get out. Finally, pay close attention if you are walking or driving while trick-or-treaters are about. Keep small children close and put your phone away. Enter and exit driveways and alleys carefully and slow down, especially in residential areas. Have fun and be safe, and I hope you have a very happy Halloween. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Early voting for the November 8th general and the Ector County Utility District election runs from now through November 4th. Voters are welcome to call the elections office for location information. For Odessa, call 432-498-4030, and Midland, call 432-688-4890. Registered voters may also visit the webpage for early voting schedules, election day vote centers, and sample ballot. Hector County, tinyurl.com/MRXN4YVD. Midland County, tinyurl.com/36B5A3CT. Texas Secretary of State, www.sos.state.tx.us. The Odessa Animal Shelter is holding a holiday special on cat vaccinations through today. Cat vaccinations will be only $5. Visit tinyurl.com/YC7RSFE9. The City of Odessa will present a trunk or treat event from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. today at Central Fire Station, 1100 West 2nd Street. Bring the kids, show off their costumes, get some candy, and come see fire trucks and police cars. Visit tinyurl.com/YAXVWJJB. The University of Texas Permian Basin will present the 5th Annual Halloween Symposium, Children of the Moon, Werewolves, Shapeshifters in Global Lore, and Literature, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at the Mesa Building, room 2130, or online at tinyurl.com/22JCE4N4. During the symposium, students and scholars will present papers on the topic. Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals, 4200 North Fairgrounds Road in Midland, will present Jordan's Way at 10 a.m. today. Chris and the Jordan's Way team are on a mission to visit shelters in all 48 of the continental United States, helping them to raise money through Facebook Live feeds. During these feeds, viewers can watch shelter employees, volunteers, and sometimes even animal control officers and local law enforcement participate in activities like pies to the face, dunk tanks, and ice bucket challenges, and donate right from the app or directly to the shelter. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2WNV6DHB.
Why is my Medicare Part B premium $615? Tony says, by Tony King. Dear Tony, I have been reading your articles regarding turning 65, being laid off, and enrolling in Medicare, but I have not read an article on how to lower my Medicare monthly premium. I need help. I turned 65 in September and enrolled in Medicare. I received a letter from Social Security stating that I must pay $544.30 for Part B and $71.30 for Part D, totaling $615.60 monthly. The IRS states that my income was $345,000 in 2020. This income is because my husband was working in 2020, except Fred passed away in February, and the amount of income has changed. I only have my Social Security check of $2,400 a month to pay bills, no longer including my husband's income. How do I inform Social Security that my income has changed? I've heard from friends that you are aware of a unique way I can bring my Medicare premium to a lower, affordable amount. Thanks, Gwen from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Gwen. Do you want to wait 2 years for the IRS to inform Medicare that your income has decreased due to a life-changing event, such as death of a spouse, recently married, divorced, retired, been laid off, working part-time, etc., or do you want to let Medicare know now that you have had a life-changing event because you or your spouse are no longer earning that amount of income? Many Americans still believe that everyone pays the same amount for their Medicare Parts B and D premium. Those days are long gone. If your income as an individual is over $91,000 for 2022, and $97,000 in 2023, or married joint income is over $182,000 for 2022, or $194,000 in 2023, then your Medicare Parts B and D premiums will be more. Social Security explains in the letter that is mailed to you how they arrived at the Part B and D premiums based on your Modified Adjusted Gross Income, MAGI, from your last filed tax return. Your MAGI was over $340,000, and the table used in the letter you received from Social Security shows what the Part B and Part D premium adjustment will be, whether you are filing single or married. There are special situations also known as life-changing events that can lower your income-related monthly adjusted amount, IRMAA. Below are some of the life-changing events that can make your income go down. You have gotten married or divorced, or your spouse has died. You or your spouse have stopped working or have reduced your hours. You have lost property that you are making money from due to a disaster or other event beyond your control. Or yours or your spouse's benefits from an insured pension plan stopped or went down. Use Form SSA 44 titled Medicare Income Related Monthly Adjusted Amount Life-Changing Event to advise Social Security of your change in income. Visit SSA.gov to download SSA 44 or view Chapter 8 of Tony's Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition for Medicare forms, including SSA 44 and others. Once Social Security is satisfied with the evidence, it will update its records and correct Part B and Part D premiums to what your current income is. Social Security reviews your filed tax returns each year and will adjust your Part B and D premiums to correspond with your new income level the following year. You will want to keep filing Form SSA 44 until your last filed return reflects your current income. Confused about Medicare Zoom webinar on Wednesday, November 16th at 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time? Visit www.tonysays.com for the Zoom enrollment link. Tony's new Medicare Moments podcasts are at www.seniorresource.com/Medicare-moments. Email info at tonysays.com or call 832-519-8664 for answers to your Medicare questions.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, October 29th. From Your Good Health. Swallowing pills together is okay. Unless, dear Dr. Roach, I have always wondered if it matters if you swallow a bunch of pills in one swallow or if it would be better to space them out. I take a bunch, like Eliquis, dicyclamine, gabapentin, etc. Answer: with most pills, it's okay to take them as a bunch together if you can tolerate doing so. I've known people who have a tough time taking multiple pills at the same time due to gagging. There are a few combinations of pills that shouldn't be taken together, such as tetracyclines and calcium, but these should be labeled clearly on your bottle. A few medicines, like alendronate or Fosamax, can be taken with any other medicines. Some medicines, including all the ones you mentioned, can cause sedation, which can be worse if taken together. As always, your pharmacist is your best friend for questions about medication interactions.
Living options adjusted due to woman's drinking. Dear Abby for Saturday. Dear Abby, my soon-to-be husband and I are moving back to our hometown in the months prior to our wedding. This is in part to make wedding organizing easier since we're having it near home. We have other weddings to attend this season, and we need to reduce our living expenses while we save for a house. Our original plan was to live with my parents for 3 or 4 months, which they have encouraged us to do. The trouble is, as the date approached, I realized that while I love my mother, her alcoholism and the way she behaves when she drinks, is difficult to be around. Actually, it's really traumatic, if I'm being honest. My other half and I have decided to stay with the parents of a good friend instead. They have a 7-bedroom house and are happy to host us, but I'm afraid of starting a conflict of embarrassing my parents by not living with them again. I'm not sure how to handle this without creating a rift before my wedding. Protecting myself in Utah. Dear Protecting, talk to your father, thank him for his generosity and offer of hospitality, and explain the reasons for your decision. While he may be used to your mother's drinking, living with an abusive alcoholic is no way for a young couple to start a marriage. There's enough stress involved in planning a wedding without having to worry about your mother's alcohol-infused shenanigans. If he doesn't recognize the good sense in your and your fiancé's decision, proceed with your plans anyway. If your fiancé has seen how your mother behaves when she's under the influence and doesn't want to live under your parents' roof when there is an alternative, he shouldn't have to. Dear Abby, my wife and I recently invited two of our best friends to dinner. As the husband was walking through our front door, he announced, "I have an awful cold, but it's not COVID." I was so shocked that he would show up on our doorstep with a communicable disease of any kind. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't want to spoil the evening, but I was seething the whole time, angry at him for exposing us. We may never invite this couple to our home again, but what should I say if confronted with a similar situation in the future? Am I overreacting? Is it better to get sick for a week than to risk offending someone by asking them to go home, get well, and then reschedule? Taking care of myself. Dear Taking, if a guest, good friend or not, suspects they may have caught a bug, they should call their hosts and reschedule. This goes for the common cold, the flu, and viruses that could be life-threatening. And you as a host have every right to smile and tell your thoughtless friend to leave rather than possibly expose your family to whatever the person is carrying. Dear readers, it's Halloween, a time for fun and fantasy. I hope that any celebrating you do tonight will be creative, fun, and safe for everyone involved. Happy Halloween. Love, Abby.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.